I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
I grew up in Southern Oregon. Some of you know this. And when I was a young man, I was just a kid. I started wrestling at 4 years old. So we started doing all these road trips. And my parents had a 1980 Honda Civic. Look at that beauty. That's a burner. Kenny, you're not going to say anything this time? There we go. See? Same color. He said it last time, and I was waiting, hoping you're going to say it again, just because I commented on how old you are. But for this to be your first car, because it's old. Anyway, it was fun for me. I had to bring it back. But we lived in Southern Oregon, and so I wanted to give you a picture of the road we used to travel to go from Klamath Falls to Medford all the time and for our wrestling, and we did it in that car, the great winter car, right? And so we hit a patch of black ice, which you don't really see right there, right? Because black ice is what? Yeah, it looks like the road, right? I mean, this, you can see, you can tell, that's dangerous. But black ice is dangerous because you can't really see it. And you think it's bare pavement, and then next thing you know, you hit a patch of ice, and then your car starts doing this, which it did. It was the first experience I've ever had with a car where we started spinning. And I knew, I was aware that things weren't safe, mostly because of my mom. Are you, now I don't know if you have somebody in your family that it's one of these when an accident's about to occur, right? Just kind of does, right? You have somebody like that in your family, right? Just immediately, boom, right? Exactly. My mom's kind of jerky anyway, right? Not a jerk, right? She's not a jerk, right? She's not rude. She's just like kind of a twitchy person. So if you're watching an athletic event, she's not particularly athletic, but she does a lot of grabbing, right? And so we watch anything athletic, football, dance. She's still she's kind of jerky. So, in a situation like this, when she senses an accident coming or a stoplight, she immediately, oh my God, so if she's afraid that, maybe we're not going to stop in time, like a half a mile, and she just becomes aware there's a light coming up, and she wasn't aware previously that I don't understand the instinct. Like it's, and she's quick, right? It's a motherly and forceful, right? My wife has the same thing, just whack, right? So I grew up with bruises, I get it. And, They were below the face, never let them see you cry. So it was, but I remember we were driving and we hit this patch of ice and we spun and like this picture illustrates, but even a little worse. There's some patches of 140 where on one side, it's a steep embankment for you, so you're safe. But on the other side, not so much, right? And so we spun we spun a few times and then for whatever reason, we just straightened out. And just kind of sat there in the road, just kind of taking it in, right? And, growing up in a spiritual family, there were things said in there that weren't really spiritual to begin with, but, but it ended up spiritual. My mom, kind of wanted me to go, Chris, thank Jesus that we're pointed this direction now, and we did. We ended up pointing, actually the direction we were headed to begin with. We just kind of spun for fun, right? But have you ever felt like that in life? Where you're just heading a direction, right? You're cruising, and then something happens, and next thing you know, you're spinning. Things just go sideways, right? You're headed one direction. No, not the band. I understand. I don't want you to get distracted here. Maybe you light up my world like nobody else. You understand what I'm saying? One direction. This is the joke, right? The way you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. No? But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know you're beautiful. Okay, all right. So So you're heading one direction, right? You're cruising, and New Year's resolutions. You start the year, want to get your health in order, finances in order, and then all of a sudden Murphy shows up, right? Things change, and it throws you in a spin, or, something happens. And it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to lose focus. It seems like it happens to me every week, if not every day. The pressure of work or a situation arises and I allow it to get me all worked up, stressed, hijacked. I lose perspective, and sometimes it takes a long time. Maybe this isn't for you, but I know as I started kind of thinking about this week and how do we keep from getting so mentally hijacked that we lose focus. Because sometimes it takes us a long way off path. Sometimes it takes us so far out we forget really where we were to begin with. Sometimes it gets us so out of control in our marriage or in our job or internally that we find ourselves so far off the path we're not sure how we're going to get back. And maybe it's a pattern of life that we've started to engage in that we realize, man, this is not something I wanted to do. It just was a one-time thing, and now I'm just spinning. The situation arose, and next thing we know, we're so far off. And as me kind of dealing with this, I was reading the scripture this week, and something kind of stuck out to me, and so I was just going to put together a message. These are some things that God was doing in me this week, so I wanted to share them with you, and if it works, great. If not, then too bad. So, okay. So I've got a few things that I wanted to share with you this week about how we can not only keep from being spun out, but more importantly, how we can get on track, because I will give you just kind of one guarantee that's going to happen as soon as we're done. Today, you're going to deal with something that's probably going to get you a little off track. And if not today, it's going to be tomorrow, okay? So you're going to get spun out some way. You're going to get emotionally hijacked. It's going to take you off course, whether it's your money or you're going to leave church and probably going to get in an argument with who you came with, right? So it's just naturally what happens. Okay, just to me and my family. So you guys won't argue at all today. So you will probably get emotionally high. Something will happen that will start your world spinning a little bit. So my hope is that as that happens, that here are some things that can maybe get us back centered a little bit. So Paul said this in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. He said, "Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." I think this one really stood out to me this week as some ideas that Paul was really saying to, hey, here's some things to focus you. Here's some things to pull you back. Here's some things to keep your mind and heart on what's important. So I've got four things to pull out of here and use, and I don't always give, like 1, 2, 3, or 4, and there's really a lot more that people can use, but these are just four. So the first thing I want to use is remember why you are traveling and not just where you're going. Remember why and not just where. Sometimes we only think about getting where we're going and success being down the road, and we forget why we're doing it to begin with. This is just a simple question of, or a comment on, remembering your purpose to begin with. Why are you here? You specifically, not why are we here, not what is humanity doing, but you personally. What is your role in this space and time, the people that you're around, the job you're in, your family? What's your purpose? What's your voice? It may turn out that your sole purpose in life is to serve as a warning to others. That may be your only purpose in life. But what is your specific purpose? And I don't want to stress you out already. Some of you are already hijacked right now. You're already like, really, Chris? I don't even know my purpose. This is ridiculous. You're trying to give me tools to not get stressed, and I'm already freaked out. I don't know. I've tried to figure it out, and I don't know it. And to be honest with you, You can give me a lot of reasons why you're not. And I don't want you to get stressed out about that. Because if you don't know, maybe you don't know the answer to that question. Maybe you're not sure. That's okay. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says that the Father tells us that he knows the plans. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When this was written, it was written to a nation that was in captivity. Everybody that it was written to, they were in captivity. But a nation in captivity is a summary of individuals that were captive. It wasn't just a mass of people, it was a mass of individual people who were not free, who were living in a state of oppression. And each one individually was wondering, what's next for us? Is this all my life is going to amount to? So when he was saying this, he was saying, I know the plans I have for you. So if you're not sure what your purpose is, that's okay. However, it needs to be something that you think about. It needs to be something that you begin to ask questions about. Not just internally to yourself, not just questions about yourself, although you should. It's important for you to take honest look at your life. And actually to argue with the voices that you have about yourself, right? Where you allow the external pressures to influence your view of yourself. And that's where prayer comes in. So you ask questions about yourself and then you ask God about you. God, how did you make me? So here's a few questions you can ask. What are your strengths? And so when you're praying, ask God and wait for a response. God, what are my strengths? What are my gifts? What are the things that I bring to my family? What are the things that I bring to my friends? What are the things that I bring to my job? What intuitively am I just good at? What opportunities do you have? Being alive in this season of time, being alive in this nation, being alive in this city, being alive in this area, what opportunities do you have that generations before you did not have? What opportunities do you have that even your parents didn't have? What opportunities are around you that you can take advantage of? These are questions you want to start asking yourself and asking God that can help align you with a purpose. See, it took me a long time, a lot of questions and a lot of wrestling to know that God has made me to be a voice of hope. Wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, that's my purpose. And I'll just confess to you openly that I don't think about this every minute of every day. In fact, I go weeks without remembering this. I sometimes go months without remembering this. Which is a hard thing to confess. But it's important for us to use to bring back to the center. Remember why we're here and not just what we're striving for. The second thing I think is in this scripture, Paul was talking and he said to set our hearts on things above. Why our hearts? What does it mean when you put your heart into something? What's that all about? I mean, we've said it before, and it's kind of common language in today's culture in America that, you know, we were passionate about it, we thought about it, we put our heart into it. And that's generally what we mean, isn't it? We generally mean our motivation. What motivates you? Your desire. But in the original Greek, first service I said Hebrew. I was reminded that Hebrew is Old Testament, Greek is New. So anyway, Greek. In the original Greek, this is what that word means for heart. It means in this specific instance of uncertain affinity, it means to seek, literally or figuratively, to worship, or in a bad sense, to plot against. It means to desire, and it means to seek after. Paul was talking about our motivation, our desire. Things that happen really before you think. What are you achieving? What are you striving for? What do you yearn for? It's those internal drives that we have for success or financial gain, or those things that when they don't happen, they lead to significant disappointment. What are the things in your life that that will affect your confidence as a person, as a man or as a woman. They affect your security as a person. That's what he's getting at, is that motivation and desire internally. So set your motivation on things that are above, not on earthly things, he said. What does it mean above, right? Above, higher. The Greek here is this, is the brim of a jar. The word right there is kind of used for the brim of a jar, or the ceiling, right? Or heaven. In other words, he says, raise the bar a little bit. If you're gonna be motivated for something, kind of lift the bar a little higher than, you know, what you can just see. Raise it, right? Strive for something. Be motivated for something higher than just the minimum standard. And I think that's really important. One of the guys I like to read, Irma McManus, is a pastor of a church in L.A., and he was talking about the Ten Commandments and how sometimes it's used as a, you know, as a way for us to say we're doing pretty good. You know, you compare myself to the Ten Commandments, I'm doing pretty good. But, you know, his comment was that really is just the minimum standard, right? It's just the lowest level, right? It wasn't meant to be like this high bar for us to measure our life and go, hey, those Ten Commandments are really doing a great job. I mean, and let's look at them, right? Don't have any other gods before me. God was just saying, hey, you know, don't really put anybody else in front, right? I mean, that's kind of a minimum. I mean, my wife doesn't really like to have other women in my life that are more important than her, right? Hey, babe, I'm glad we're together, but really, you know, there's a couple that I got my eye on. That doesn't work, right? At a minimum, she wants to be the only one that I want to be with. He said, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Not a huge thing. Honor your father and mother. Makes sense, right? Doesn't even talk about contributing to the relationship. Just says honor them, right? Don't murder. Not even a productive member of society. Just don't kill anybody, right? I mean, that's like, isn't that just the minimum, right? Don't commit adultery. Okay, don't steal. Like, these are not, you know, expansive, you know, descriptions of people who are contributing to society. You know, don't kill, don't steal, don't gossip. And, you know, don't covet your neighbor's house, right? Don't covet his wife or male or female servant or ox or donkey. Now, they don't have one, so I'm good with that one. But, you know, so the Ten Commandments really aren't meant to be an expansive, you know, like this high bar, right? They're a minimum standard. And what he's saying here is if you're going to set your motivation on something, raise the bar a bit. Dream for something more. Set your heart, your motivation on something higher than earthly things. Then he said, set your mind. What's the difference between our mind and our heart? They're slightly different. He repeated himself. So the Greek, I had to look to find out. And he said, here's the Greek for mind is to have understanding and be wise, to feel or to think, to direct one's mind to a thing, to seek or strive for. Why say it twice? I mean, I know writers like to repeat themselves, but usually they do it for matter of importance. Paul said, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. I wondered what he meant by things above, where Christ is. It was really hard to get an idea of that. He's not really clear, but set your mind on and your heart on things above. So I looked through a few areas where people who had lived with Jesus, what did they say about him? John said it like this in 1 John 4:8. John said, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So in other words, be motivated about love and think about love. 2 Corinthians, Paul said this, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So he said, be motivated about freedom and think about freedom. Peter said it this way, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness to be. Instead, he said, be patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Forgiveness. To be motivated by forgiveness. To think about forgiveness. Paul is saying we need to be motivated and driven to seek and to think about and pursue love, freedom, and forgiveness. So with that in mind, I've got a few rhetorical questions I just want to ask you to just marinate on for a second. When was the last time you spent some meditative time on love, forgiveness, or repentance? Or maybe you just took a couple minutes in your office. Or when you got home from work, the first thing you did was just pause for a minute and thought about love. Or forgiveness. Or repentance. And then when you made your to-do list for the things you needed to get done, you paused for a minute and thought, who do I need to love? How can I be a person of forgiveness? In my role at my job, how can I be a leader who leads with love, forgiveness, and repentance? Who allows mercy to be what I'm known for? Whether they wouldn't use those words, they would experience that when they came into my presence. Second question is, who do you have a hard time loving, forgiving, or repenting to? Paul is saying, don't allow the things of this earth, the motivations and drives of our ongoing everyday world, to be what you meditate and you think about. But think about the things that Jesus is about: love, forgiveness, freedom. And the list could go on and on, couldn't it? Graciousness, gentleness, generosity, humility. Allow those things to be the things that we marinate on, that we think about. When you put your head on your pillow at night, and you're thinking about the next 3 weeks, that allow love and mercy and forgiveness and faithfulness, that those things become our motivation, that what we think about and dream of. And the last thing is this: to begin or continue to develop habits in your life that bring these results. Kaden and I were talking about wrestling this week. Obviously, my son is 16. He's my youngest, and he wrestles 220 for Mariner High School and 220 pounds for Mariner High School in Linwood. And that's a picture of Caden there just recently against Cascade. So at his same age, at 16, I wrestled 119 pounds. So we're a little different. So, but unfortunately, I'm pretty close to his weight now. So that's, you know. But we were talking about, his coach has been wanting him to cut weight to 195. Right around Christmas time, started putting the pressure on. I want you to cut to 190, because he's a light 220. He weighs about 205, 208. He did. He's been trying to cut weight. But it's been a little bit of an argument for us, because he's been on the fence, right? Because Caden likes to do is he likes to eat. So it's kind of a conflict, right? I mean, between eating and losing weight. And see, Caden before was like, he didn't discriminate against food. I mean, if it was food, I mean, he ate it, and lots. He just wanted everything. If you put it on the plate, it was gone. And still, really, to this day, you know, he's kind of like that. And so he talked about wanting to lose weight, but it started to shift into, well, I'm willing to do it, but, you know, can I eat as much as I want? Well, yes, if you change what you eat, right? Okay, well, as long as I can eat as much as I want, you know, I can eat, I'll do it, you know, I'm in. And but he kept riding the fence, never really making a commitment to going that route, because he still was kind of researching what he had to do with his diet so he could eat whatever he wanted to make that decision. So we were going back and forth. I mean, this, again, like I said, this started Christmas break, which is kind of the last, you know, time in the world you really want to talk about losing weight. But so we made the commitment this last week. But the conversation we had this week, I finally just stopped. This was during like a 2.5 hour ongoing conversation in the kitchen. I just said, hey, listen, Caden, here's the deal. For you as a young man now, and for you as an athlete, and for you in your future, you have to choose what you want to accomplish and then arrange your life around reaching that goal. That goal becomes primary. If the areas of your life, all these other things become important, those are really the goal. And so if your main priority in life is eating everything you can see, then okay, that's your goal. But don't say you want to achieve this goal only if you can do this, because those don't work together. And so in order for us to move forward with what we're trying to do, if we want love and forgiveness and repentance to be what we're known for, if those are our goal, if those are what we're driven for, then we need to set patterns and habits in our life to arrange those results. We're habitual creatures by nature. It's a part of who we are as humans. And so I've got a couple ideas that we can add to our life, and these are some habits you can take with you. Some of these I've put into my life, and some I'm starting to incorporate. So a couple of these that I've begun to do on a daily basis, and some of these I'm planning to use. So here you go, a couple of them. One is schedule a daily time to read and meditate. Read scripture specifically, and then other things that drive you towards these goals. And not just to read, but to meditate. Meditation is a unique thing, and I'd encourage you, if you haven't done it before, to read on it. Find ways that you can utilize your mind and your spirit on what you're trying to read. I ask God to help me understand what I'm reading that day. Just simple. Hey, God, I have no idea what you're talking about because it's really important stuff, and I'm a human, so help me. I need to figure out what you meant. Here's a couple questions you can ask when you're meditating in the morning. These are four that I use. What and for whom am I grateful for? I think I've shared these with you before, but I'm going to do it again. What and for whom am I grateful for? What am I excited about and looking forward to doing today? What is my purpose? And do my plans for today connect me to it? This one is really critical for me. It helps me recenter. It's been a huge one for me to remind myself of why I'm here. Whatever situation I'm in, wherever I am, I want to be a voice of hope. And the last one, who can I reach out to and serve or thank today? Yeah, I got to confess, this last one is a challenge for me. There's days that I don't have an answer. It's kind of a hard spot to be in when I don't even have somebody that comes to my mind that I can thank or that I can serve. It kind of grips me the rest of the day, but I find someone to say thank you to. Here's another one you can do. Take a spiritual retreat or a walk. This is one that I'm going to add to my life here in the near future. It's something that I used to do. So this is kind of a redo for me. I used to take these long walks when I was a younger man in my early 20s, and my girls were really young, and I used to take my Walkman back in the day. If you don't know what that is, you're missing out. But and I'd take a little lawn chair, go for a walk there in Post Falls, Idaho, down these, you know, little dirt road behind our apartment that I paid $300 a month for rent for. But anyway, I'd go for these walks, and if you were on a run or came by me, you would think I was crazy, because I would, you know, I'd just be singing out loud, right? I would just sing and talk out loud and write stuff. But I've got away from that. So take a spiritual retreat or walk. And the last one is this: when you start to feel spun out next time, find a quiet place and just sing a hymn or song. Old hymn, new hymn, a song. Just sing a hymn or song, because worship changes perspective. So here's my hope. My hope is that you get spun out today or tomorrow. I hope you get emotionally hijacked. I hope you get a little frustrated, and that this comes to mind and you think to yourself, this isn't what I want, this is what I want. My wife works in the health industry, and there's this negative perception about this time of year, right? And so many people are in the gym, all these New Year's resolutioners in the gym. You know, everybody finally showing up. We'll see you in February. You know, I actually really don't like that attitude, because at least they made a resolution. At least they tried. They showed up. So what if they left in 2 weeks? They'll try it again. And so you're going to get emotionally hijacked. And the idea is that you continue to try and come back to these habits that are going to take you to be what you want to be. That you keep coming back, that you keep coming back, that you keep coming back. So I hope you get emotionally hijacked, you get a little frustrated, and you remember to come back and go, wait a minute, who do I want to be? God, how did you make me? I'm going to drive towards that. Help me be successful. I'm going to try it again. Would you pray with me? We're just We're just going to open to you, God, the God of love. And you're not just the God of love, you really are. That's all you are. It's all you know. It's all you do. And I'm really grateful that as you watch us just in our mess, Father, it's actually probably really hard for you to watch us. All you want really for us is to be happy. All you want for us is to experience the joy that you made us to experience, this unexplainable joy, this peace in relationships, this experience with you and with each other. And when we get spun out and we get emotionally hijacked, I know it's just for you, it must be hard to watch. And Father, I'm grateful that as you watch it, you don't leave us alone. You don't let us out of it. You continually try to pull us to you. So Father, we're just going to come to you today. I want to ask you a question with nobody looking around, and maybe you came in here today, just you're one of those people that you were already kind of felt like you were out of control, like your life is kind of spinning in directions you don't want it to go, and you have things that you're dealing with that you can't, feels like you just can't stop. And maybe the first thing you need to do is just say, God, I need your help. It's hard for me to even feel love or give love. Just so much is going on in my world. I just need you to reach in. I need you to stop me spinning now. And if that's you, just maybe in your own words, say, God, I need you. I don't know how to stop. I don't even know which direction is straight. I don't even know where I was going or how I was getting there. I just need you. Father, thank you that you have always intervened when we've asked you for help, and you've picked us up. And maybe our world still felt like it was spinning, but it was you reaching in and lifting us out. And you give us a firm place to stand. You put our feet down. You dust us off and you give us direction. I'm really grateful that you don't get tired of giving us new chances to get it sorted out. So, Father, my prayer is that you would continually bring us back to you. That we would remember. Try and try, try again. Jesus, thank you for loving us and showing us what it looks like. And we ask it in your name. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.